This is Positive IQ. I'm Penny Ward, and this podcast explores how we stay steady, clear, and well in a world that keeps shifting and changing. Here we talk about the real experience of navigating change, the load it creates, the resilience it requires, and the capacity it drains. We look at what's happening in the brain, the body, and in everyday behavior, and what helps us to lead ourselves and others with more clarity, calm, and confidence. Each episode offers simple insights, practical tools, and grounded conversations to help you move through change without sacrificing your well-being. If you're navigating complexity, rebuilding your capacity, or rising to a new chapter, you are in the right place. Before we begin, I want to invite you to slow this moment down. Not to analyze, not to take notes, not to turn this into something you have to do, just to arrive. If you're listening to this while walking, driving, folding washing, or sitting quietly, notice that you are here. And notice what it took to get you here. Because by the time people reach this third conversation, they're usually not looking for more insight. They're looking for a way back to themselves that doesn't require collapse, withdrawal, or reinvention. If that's you, you're in the right place. This final session is not about fixing what's broken. It's about how you move forward without leaving yourself behind. Across the first two sessions, we've done something very deliberate. We've slowed the narrative. We've named why resilience becomes harder to access for capable, conscientious women. Not because they're weak, but because they're carrying more than is visible. We've explored how capacity erodes quietly through cumulative pressure, emotional holding, and responsibility without recovery. We've mapped your rest landscape, not to judge it, but just to understand it. And so if you've noticed a mix of relief, grief, recognition, or even resistance, that makes sense. This is what happens when people stop performing resilience and start telling the truth about what sustains them. There's a moment that often comes after insight, a moment where people say, aha, okay, I see it now. But what do I do with all of this? This is where many leadership and well-being frameworks fall down. They offer insight and then they leap straight to action. But when action is layered on top of unregulated system, it collapses. That's where this final session is not about productivity, habits, or optimization. It's about how resilience becomes lived again. And that happens through what we call the rested path. The rested path is not a program. It's not a checklist. And it's not a standard you have to meet. It's a way of understanding how leadership becomes embodied rather than something that comes with a whole lot of effort. The rested path describes three essential conditions: a rested body, a rested voice, and rested action. These are not outcomes. They are supports that allow resilience to re-emerge naturally. You don't force them, you create the conditions for them. And importantly, you don't need all three perfectly aligned at once. This is not about balance, it's about responsiveness. Let's start with the rested body. A rested body is not simply one that has slept well or exercised. It's a body that is regulated enough to choose rather than react. Under sustained pressure, the nervous system adapts. It stays alert. It stays braced. It stays ready. This adaptation is intelligent, but it's expensive. When the body remains in that state for too long, leadership begins to feel heavier than what it should. You might notice constant low-level tension, difficulty slowing your thoughts, fatigue that doesn't resolve with rest, feeling wired but tired. Now, this is not a personal failure. It's a signal that regulation is needed before anything else. Many women leaders have learned to override these signals from the body. They notice fatigue and push through. They notice tension and they ignore it. They notice flatness and they add even more effort. But the body doesn't escalate signals to punish you. It escalates them to be heard. A rested body is one that is listened to early, not managed later. This might look like deliberate pauses between tasks, transitions instead of rushing, breathing space before difficult conversations, allowing recovery to be part of leadership, not something that you earn after it. This is not indulgence, it is preventative. Now, the second condition is arrested voice. This is often where women notice the most subtle loss. They still know what they're doing, but they stop trusting themselves. They second-guess decisions. They over-explain. They seek reassurances externally. They feel disconnected from their own clarity. This isn't because confidence is gone. It's because inner authority is harder to access when the system is fatigued. Arrested voice is not louder. It's calmer, clearer, more grounded. One of the most effective ways to restore arrested voice is also one of the most underestimated. Naming what is present. Not analyzing it, not fixing it, not reframing it, just naming it. I'm overwhelmed. I'm disappointed. I'm uncertain. I'm tired, not unmotivated. This is known as effect labeling, and it works because it shifts the brain out of the threat processing and back into regulation. This is not therapy, it's neurological hygiene, and it creates the space for wise leadership again. Now, the third condition is rested action. This is often where leaders feel the most internal conflict, because action has been culturally associated with speed, decisiveness, intensity, and momentum. But resilience is not built through heroic effort. It is built through intentional movement that preserves capacity. Rested action asks different questions. What is the smallest action that still matters? What decision reduces friction rather than adds it? What boundary protects energy rather than costs it? This is not about doing less for the sake of it. It's about what can be sustained. Let's talk about rhythm instead of intensity. Intensity feels effective in the short term, but it's metabolically very, very expensive. Rhythm is what allows leaders to stay present over time. And rhythm includes clean starts and stops, deliberate transitions, periods of engagement and recovery, letting effort rise and fall naturally. When rhythm is lost, intensity takes over. And intensity always demands repayment. Rested action prevents that debt from accumulating. The rested path is not something that you complete. It's something that you return to. You want to be more on the rested path through life than off. And at different times, different elements take the lead. Sometimes the body needs attention first. Sometimes you need clarity. Sometimes action needs recalibrating. Resilience emerges when none of these are neglected for too long. And this is how unbecoming turns into becoming. Not through reinvention, but through reconnection. I want to end this series by saying something very clearly. The aim of this work is not to make you tougher. It's not about helping you to endure more. It's about making resilience available again. Not as something that you perform, not as something that you prove, but as something that arises when the conditions are right. A rested body, a rested voice, and rested action. This is what allows leadership to be sustained without abandoning everything. And if you take nothing else from these conversations, let it be this. You don't need to become someone else to be resilient again. You need to stop leaving yourself behind. So to finish off this session, I've got some coaching questions for you. You may choose to listen to these in its entirety, or you might take your time and pause throughout. It's up to you. But before you begin, take a pause. This is not a performance review. It's not a plan to execute. You are noticing how leadership feels in your body, your voice, and your actions right now. Okay, question one. What signals tell me my body needs regulation before action? So consider the early signals, not the breaking points. And you might reflect on physical cues such as tightness, fatigue, shallow breathing, or restlessness. There could also be emotional cues like irritability, flatness, or feeling overwhelmed. Cognitive cues such as racing thoughts, reduced focus, or decision fatigue. Ask yourself gently, when do these signals usually appear? What do I tend to do instead of responding to them? What helps my body settle when I listen early? Notice what your body has been asking for without judgment. Question number two. When pressure rises, how do I reconnect with my inner voice? A rested voice is not louder, it's clearer. Reflect on what helps you slow your thinking, what helps you trust your own judgment, when you feel most internally aligned. And you might ask yourself, do I tend to seek reassurance externally when I'm tired? What brings me back to my own knowing and my wisdom? And what does clarity feel like in my body? This is not about reclaiming internal authority, not certainty. Okay, question number three. How do I usually respond when action feels urgent? Notice your default patterns. You might reflect on whether you speed up, take on more, or become more controlling, whether you override limits or push through discomfort, whether urgency becomes a familiar state, something that you're used to. Ask yourself, what has this pattern protected me from? What does it cost me over time? What would a more rested response look like here in this moment? You are not trying to remove urgency. You're just trying to relate to it differently. Question number four. Where am I relying on intensity instead of rhythm? Intensity can feel effective until it isn't. Reflect on where effort spikes without recovery, where transitions are rushed or skipped, and where momentum replaces reflection. Consider, what would rhythm look like in this part of my life? Where could I allow effort to rise and fall more naturally? And what would change if recovery was built in and not postponed? Rhythm sustains what intensity exhausts. Question 5. What does rested action look like for me right now? Rested action is contextual. So reflect on what actions feel aligned rather than draining right now. What boundaries protect your capacity, and what decisions simplify rather than complicate. Ask yourself, what is the minimum effective movement here? What action preserves my energy rather than consumes it? What would I do differently if I trusted my capacity? Rested action is about sustainability, not reduction. Question 6. This is one of my favorites. How do my strengths support or undermine my resilience? Your strengths really matter here. So consider which strengths give you energy and clarity, which strengths you may be overusing under pressure, where excellence has slipped into overfunctioning and overperforming. So reflect on, how do my strengths show up when I'm rested? How do they show up when I'm depleted, if they do? And what would it mean to use them more intentionally? Strengths don't disappear under pressure. They narrow. Question 7. What small shift would support resilience this week? This is not about life redesign. Reflect on one adjustment that would support regulation, one boundary that would protect, one pause that would change how action feels. So ask yourself, what is the smallest shift that would make the biggest difference? And what would feel kind and not indulgent? Small shifts compound. The final question, question 8. How does leadership feel when I don't abandon myself? This question is about identity, not behavior. Reflect on the moments when leadership feels steadied and embodied. What is present when you feel like yourself? And how resilience shows up when you are supported. Ask yourself, what would it mean to lead from this place more often? And what would need to be protected to make that possible? This is the essence of becoming. As you finish these reflections, pause again. You don't need to act on everything you've noticed. Becoming rested and resilient is not a single decision. It is a series of small, ongoing returns. Returns to your body. Returns to your voice. Returns to action that aligns rather than exhausts. Nothing here requires urgency. If one insight stays with you, that's enough. Leadership does not require self-abandonment, and resilience is not something you demand of yourself. It is something you support again and again. Before we finish, I want to acknowledge something important. Staying with this series, even listening quietly, is not a small thing. It means that you were willing to pause long enough to question some very familiar ideas about strength, responsibility, and what leadership demands of you. Across these conversations, we haven't tried to make you tougher. We haven't asked that you endure more. and we haven't suggested that resilience is something that you should have mastered. Instead, we've gently shifted the frame from what's wrong with me to what has my system been carrying, from why can't I cope like I used to what conditions have been missing. That shift matters because it allows leadership to be understood not as a personal test, but as a human experience that unfolds over time within real bodies, real lives, and real limits. If something in this series has stayed with you, a phrase, a question, a quiet recognition, let that be enough. You don't need to apply everything. You don't need to explain it to anyone. And you don't need to resolve it all now. Resilience does not come from pressure. It comes from permission. Permission to be honest about capacity. Permission to design leadership for yourself that is sustainable. And permission to lead in ways that do not cost you yourself. This series doesn't end with an answer. It ends with a different relationship to rest, to resilience, and to you as a leader. Thank you for listening. Thank you for joining me on Positive IQ. I hope today's conversation offered you a moment of insight, a shift in intention, or something that supports the impact you want to make in leadership and in life. If this resonated, please subscribe, share it, or leave a review so that more women and leaders can find these conversations. You'll find more tools and reflections at positiveiq.com or on Substack. Until next time, stay steady, stay curious, and honor your capacity.